Now, with us here is Sean Duke, joint editor of Science Spin magazine. Good morning to you, Sean.
Morning, Declan.
How's it going?
Grand, grand.
Very good. Now, ESP, clairvoyance and all that sort of stuff, people put maybe a religious connotation upon it, whatever, yeah. But whatever it is, we don't have the answers as yet. But do we have receptors in there that some people are more acute and tuned into them and, you know, other people ignore them and don't develop them?
Quite possibly. I mean, the two ways that they've actually tried now, I suppose it's a sixth sense or a gut instinct or a hunch, which actually a lot of people would say they rely on. So in a sense, we all believe in these type of things. But, the problem is trying to prove scientifically exactly what's going on. So the approaches over the years, anyway, it goes back to the 19th century when people were interested in seances and talking to the dead and all that kind of thing. So it was regarded as a bit, you know, by the mainstream. It wasn't regarded seriously at all. But in the 1930s, I suppose, they started to look at it seriously in Duke University, which is a famous university in the US, same name as myself. But their approach was to test everybody. This guy, J.B. Ryan was his name. And his idea was that we all have these abilities. So he wanted to test a large group of people. And what he used was Zenner cards. That's Z-E-N-N-E-R cards. But basically, the idea was it was a set of cards, and there was one person who was looking at the cards, and there was another person who was asked to guess what card that person was looking at. So, you know, you can work out statistically how often the guesser, if you like, should get it right. And what he found was a statistically higher number of correct guesses. And, you know, this was very hard to explain because what exactly is going on there? So that kind of started the debate, if you like. And then if we move up kind of closer to the present day, in the 1970s, of course, the Cold War was going on at that time. So what the Americans started to do was, they actually found out that the Russians and the Chinese had these very wide-scale ESP programs. So they were spending money on it. So the Americans thought, we better do the same if they're taking it seriously. So the focus then became on trying to identify people that had extraordinary abilities and to test them and to try and ask them various questions to try and get answers about what the Soviets were up to. And in actual fact, some of the things that they came up with were quite incredible. For example, there was one particular seer, as they were called, Joseph McMonagall was his name. And he actually won an award because they said he got, I think it was the Congressional Medal of Honor or something, very high award in the United States, because he came up with 150 specific bits of information that they said could not have been got from any other source. One I remember was, I just have it here. He discovered where a Soviet bomber that had actually crashed in Africa. The Americans knew that it had gone down, and obviously they wanted to get there first before the Soviets because they wanted to look at the technology and everything, and they weren't able to find where it was. McMonagall was able to locate it, which is quite amazing. What else did he do? He was able to actually talk about a nuclear facility that the Soviets had, a nuclear submarine facility, and what they were up to, and he was able to accurately, as it turned out, because they checked the information later, describe cranes and various things, so they were obviously building.
But did he get anything wrong? And was this 1% of the things he said?
Well, that's it, you see. Here's the problem, because even the people that believe in this, now it's funded by the CIA and by the American intelligence community, and the reason they fund it is because they get results. Now, they don't like to publish it because it's considered a bit wacky, and they might come in for criticism. The taxpayers might say, why are you spending this money and this kind of stuff? But the reason they do it is they do get results. Now, even with the people like this guy McMonagall, according to the people who've looked at him and others, what they say is that the statistics vary, and this is the problem, that one day somebody like him might be extremely accurate, another day he might not. So of course science wants to be able to reproduce something in the lab the same every single time, so if there's any kind of variance there, then they just tend to dismiss it. So they think there's days when people are on, if you like, and off, and of course, this is hard then to test experimentally. Of course, the other problem with science is that there's no theory to explain this. Like, generally, if there's something that's unexplained out there, like, I remember we were talking before about the fact that we can't see a lot of the stuff that's out there in the universe. Well, at least they have a theory there to test. They can say, you know, we think this stuff is dark matter and it might be this and it might be that. And then they go off and find it. So they're trying to test a theory to solve the mystery, if you like. But in this case, all they can do is say, well, statistically, yes, it seems that these people do have these abilities, but we haven't a clue why they have these abilities.
It raises questions like, has the future already happened? Right? If somebody can, you know, these deja vu things as well, and then some people say that, you know, I have a premonition of this and I see something or other. So, you know, has the future happened? Or?
Well, if you think about time, right, time, we think here on Earth in our lives, time is very important. Like, you have to arrive at the right time and work, and everything in our lives is dictated by time, and it's in a linear fashion, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, and it's like that. And we've past, present, and future. But actually, science shows, and Einstein and various people like that have shown, that time behaves very weirdly in the universe as a whole, that time can bend and distort and this, that, and the other. So it's not as simple as a linear thing, A, B, C, D. So maybe this, I'm not saying that this is an example of, or an explanation, but maybe, you know, that is part of it. Maybe things.
But
like,
it's the time that's bending, or a perception of time, because
it's actual time. Time and space bend and distort. In that's what they. Well, that's what they think.
What I'd say to you is that, say, if you were in a hurry to collect £1 million and you had to go from here to Greystones and all the lights were against you and all that, but you had a time limit, it'd seem forever.
Yes,
you know.
Exactly.
But if you were going there to be executed or something, it'd be a very short journey. You
that's
know.
Right. That's
so
right.
It's the same journey. But
perception of time varies.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the minute silence there that the Queen did or whatever. That seems to go on a long time. It's only a minute because nothing is happening. It seems like a long time. Yeah, so there's a perception of time. But, you know, the other thing that I thought I'd look at is this remote viewing thing, which is, I suppose, it's a subcategory of ESP. And basically what remote viewing is let's say they have a case. Typically, again, it's maybe the FBI or the CIA use people with these abilities. They have a case that they can't solve. So then they have people on the payroll. It's all kind of hush-hush, but they have people on the payroll. And there was actually a project set up, the Stargate project, which had $20 million funding. So it was quite a well-funded program where they will present whatever evidence they have in the particular case. And they say, listen, you know, we've no idea where the murder weapon is. Can you help us? All we have is a piece of clothing, or we have some of the victim's personal effects or whatever. And remarkably, they come up with information. They found murder weapons in places that are just amazing, you know, dumped in streams or out in the countryside, or where they would have had no chance of finding them. So again, you know, although we don't know why people have these remote viewing abilities, which is, you know, to define it, it's to be able to see something that is in a different location, basically, from where we are. So we're here in Wicklow, so you might be able to say, oh, the murder weapon is not actually here in Bray, it's over in the west of Ireland. And they can actually be very specific about where it is. So what's going on there, we don't know exactly. Of course, it's always shrouded in controversy, and that's one of the problems, because we're really kind of into the X-Files territory here, and there's been constantly a battle going on in the US, probably in Russia and China as well, I'm not sure, between those who believe in this stuff and those who don't believe in this stuff. And interestingly, a lot of the people that believe in it are the military types who you'd expect to be quite...
Black and white. Yeah.
Black and white, you know. For example, there was a guy that was sent in to actually have a look at a particular program who was a skeptic, and he started to run. He was a military person, and he started military intelligence, and he started to use these seers to answer specific questions about various things that he was doing, and he became a true believer, you know. And that was somebody who went in as a skeptic,
right?
So,
well, and from a science point of view, are you a skeptic?
Well, we should remember that sometimes, like I mentioned the card thing before, that you can't ignore the fact that with the card thing that they actually, there was a difference between statistical difference. Like they say in an experiment, a statistical variance that's acceptable that would just say this thing is random might be 2% above or 2% below. But in some of these card things where you're asked to guess what card is the other person looking at, it was 15%. So that's huge in science. So there, something is going on statistically there. And
what about Derren Brown and all that? It's all trickery.
Well, you see, what happened, but also you have to look at some of the people who've done the research. Like, they're not all way out wackos. You know, I mentioned Duke University, which is an Ivy League university in the States, you know, like Harvard or whatever. Another crowd that were very into this area were in Stanford University, which is like the gold standard for, it's probably the top scientific university in the world. They had a whole program that looked at psychics and various phenomena. And what their conclusion was, I suppose, if you looked at all of the evidence together, their conclusion was that some people seem to statistically have extraordinary abilities and that most of us have some abilities. But an interesting one actually was what they did with hypnosis. That they felt maybe there's some kind of link with hypnosis here. Does this have anything to do with it? And they ran an experiment and they found that people were able, their ability to, say, guess the cards or whatever it was, their psychic abilities were improved when they're under hypnosis. So then the theory became maybe we're more open, we're more relaxed, whatever it is, but it seems that under hypnosis we have greater psychic abilities than when we're not under hypnosis.
All right, Sean, thank you very much indeed.
You're welcome.
Very interesting as always.
Can I just mention Science Bin?
Go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's just issue 46 is out now. So
issue 46? Where do you get all the subjects? Yeah, go on.
I could keep coming in here for a long time, but we've stuff on the brain there. We've a lot of stuff on geology. If somebody wants to read about an ancient volcano that was in County Armagh there, we've got stuff on that. Lots of stuff on young scientists like we were talking about earlier on, so it might be worth having a look. sciencespin.com.
Thanks very much indeed.
Okay,
that's Sean Duke.